Disobey the Lord and follow the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Arnie's mic'd up. I'm ready to go.
Amen. So, yeah.
Well, you guys are all standing. Wow. Thank you so much. It's a privilege. Some of you are clapping already. I haven't even done anything. Maybe I should just quit while I'm ahead. Well, I'm glad you're here. And as you're standing, let's do this. Since we're standing in the presence of the Lord, would you do this for me? I believe God has a message He wants to speak to us this morning. That's why you're here. As Pastor said, you came to hear from God, not to hear from a missionary. If you came to hear from me, you're here for the wrong reason. And so I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you prepare your hearts with me this morning as we prepare to get into the Word and hear from God? Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. And Lord, we're so thankful to already experience your presence in worship. But Lord, worship isn't just the songs we sing. Worship is every act of our life. And so Lord, right now, we worship you by giving you these next few minutes. We open our hearts to you. We open our minds to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would come and speak. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help Phil Malcolm to step aside. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would challenge us with your word this morning. Help us not to leave this place the same way that we entered in, but help us to leave better because we have heard from God Almighty. We pray these things in your precious name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as you're getting seated, I have to warn you that I am not your ordinary pastor, your ordinary missionary. Usually, it's easy for people to tell that because I wear my wild African shirts, and on the mainland, I stand out, and people say, this guy's different. Here, I wear my wild shirt, and everyone just goes, oh, no big deal. But I am not a your ordinary missionary. I was a children's pastor before I went to the mission field, my wife and I. And when we went to the mission field, we went as children's missionaries. So I'm used to speaking to kids, and I'm glad to see there's some kids in here. All the kids, raise your hands. Okay, Pastor, we have a problem. I saw a lot of little kids raising their hands, but the Bible says that if you're saved, you're one of God's kids. Okay, now I see some hands going up. Okay, I'm feeling better. So, since we're all God's kids, and we're all part of His family, we're going to have fun in our Father's house this morning. We're going to do things a little bit differently. I've got puppets. I've got other things coming out. We're going to have some fun. And that's okay, because in your Father's house, you should be at ease. You should have fun. So, let's do this. Let's get started. As you can see, we are the Malcolms in Africa. Well, we're not in Africa right now. We're in Hawaii. But normally we're in Africa. And I say we, so let me introduce the other part of we here. We've got a picture coming up. I gave my signal. There we go. That's we. And my lovely wife, Robin, is sitting in the front row. Robin, can you stand up and say hi? And she's not going to say a lot in the service this morning, but if you'd like to speak with her, please stop by our table back there and say hi and greet her and shake her hand, and she'd love to meet you. We are missionaries to Africa, and this is our mission field right here. I have a picture coming up here. And this stylized map of Africa kind of shows you where we do our ministry. You see the red star here, that represents where we work and live in the country of Togo. And in that little tiny country in West Africa, that's where our home base is. And we work with our churches there, our 2,000 local Assemblies of God churches in that little country, and try and help them develop their ministry to kids, to reach the kids in their church and in their communities. But wait, there's more. Because you notice the color blue on my map here? You guys see the blue? That represents West Africa, an area about the size of the continental U.S., 16 different nations, and we work with every one of those countries that are trying to either help them start ministry to kids where they have nothing, or help them develop their programs to reach the children in Africa. But wait, there's more. You notice the color brown on my map? That is the entire continent of Africa, isn't it? And that is also our mission field, because Rob and I are privileged to serve as part of our leadership team for Africa's Children, which is our program, our children's program for the entire continent in our World Missions program. And we get to help that team develop programs, do training, provide curriculum for all our teachers across the entire continent. So we have a big mission field. And I'll be sharing a little bit more about that mission field, what we do as we go along this morning. But this morning, I'd like to take a few minutes to talk with you about this right here. This is our topic this morning. And we're having some there we go. It's taking a second to go up there. The Great Harvest. The Great Harvest. Now, Pastor, I heard him mention this morning that we're going to see who Jesus is in this year. We're going to see who God is. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that one of the things we know about God is He is the Lord of the harvest. And so we're going to talk about the harvest this morning. And when I talk about harvest, of course, I'm not talking about pineapples or bananas or grains or fruit or vegetables. I'm talking about a harvest of souls, people that God wants to see gathered into his kingdom, into his family, because God loves people. God cares about people. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 4. And we're going to look at this passage of scripture right here, John chapter 4, in just a moment. But before we actually look at this scripture where Jesus talks about the harvest, I want to set the scene. Why was Jesus talking about the harvest? Why did he talk to his disciples about that? So here's the story. Jesus, and our story starts with Jesus, you can see him right there. Jesus was working with his disciples, but he didn't look like this. In the story that I want to share with you this morning, Jesus probably looked a little bit more like this. Hot and sweaty and tired and dusty and dirty. Because the Bible tells us that he and his disciples had been traveling under a hot tropical sun. And they'd been out. And of course, when we say traveling, in the Bible times, they didn't have cars, they didn't have air conditioning, they didn't have paved roads. So they were walking along these dirty, dusty roads. They were hot, they were tired, they were sweaty. And everybody was kind of just ready to give up. And Jesus finally said, oh, well. And so they stopped at the well that Jesus had just seen. And the disciples said to Jesus, Master, you just wait here by this well and rest, and we'll go into town, and we'll get something to eat, some food, maybe a nice plate of spaghetti. Well, it was the Roman Empire, right? So they must have had spaghetti, surely. So anyway, the disciples leave. They leave Jesus by the well. And as Jesus is sitting there, the Bible tells us that a woman came. And this woman came to do what people do at a well. She came with a big pitcher to get water. Because if, remember, again, Bible times, they didn't have running water in their homes. So she came to get all the water they would need for drinking, for cooking, for cleaning. A daily chore. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw her coming with her pitcher, he spoke to her. He spoke to this woman, and he kind of made an ordinary sort of sounding request. He said, excuse me, ma'am, would you mind getting me something to drink? Now that sounds ordinary to you and me. But the Bible says that when the woman heard Jesus speaking to her like this, she was surprised. In fact, she was so surprised she even called him on it and said, hey, mister, you shouldn't be talking to me. That's not allowed. You might be wondering, well, why isn't that allowed? Well, see, in that day and age, this woman who was a Samaritan woman was surprised that Jesus, who was a Jewish man, was talking to her. Because the Jews and Samaritans, they just didn't mix. They didn't get along. And so she said to Jesus, hey, you shouldn't be talking to me. And when Jesus heard this, he looked at her and said, well, ma'am, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd actually be asking me for water, for a drink of living water, so you'd never be thirsty again. Now, you and I know that when we talk about living water, we're not talking about water with eyeballs. That'd be kind of gross. What Jesus was referring to there was something for your heart, something that would satisfy your innermost being. But the woman didn't understand that. She just heard this idea of, I'll never be thirsty again, and she thinks, I'll never have to come down to this stupid well again. I'll never have to do this chore again. This would be wonderful. And so she says, yes, please, I'd like some of that water. And when she says yes, the Bible tells us that Jesus looks at her and says something rather strange. He says, okay, I'll give you this water. All you have to do is go find me, your husband, and bring him back here to me. And at this point, when the woman hears this, she's rather sad. She says, I can't do that. I don't have a husband. And Jesus looks at her and says, you know, you're right to say you don't have a husband, because actually, you've had 5 different husbands. And right now, you're living with man number 6, and you're not even married to him. And when the woman heard this, the Bible tells us that she was absolutely stunned. She was shocked. She couldn't believe what she was hearing. In fact, she was so stunned, she was so shocked, that the Bible says she left her water jug there. The whole reason that she had come that day to the well, she forgot about it. She left her water jug there, and she ran into town. And when she got to town, she gathered everyone she could find, all her neighbors, everybody she knew. She said, you've got to come and meet this man who told me everything I ever did. And the Bible says that that day, many people from the town came down to meet Jesus at the well, and they listened to him speak, and that day, many hearts were added to the kingdom of heaven. And that's kind of a neat story. But this morning, I want to focus on this part right here. In between the time when the woman left the well and left her water jug there, but before she came back with all her friends and all the people from the town. Because at this point right here, in the middle there, is when the Bible tells us that the disciples came back. And they came back with the food that they had found in town. And they said, Jesus, here you go. We found something. Eat. And Jesus looked at them and said, no thanks, I've already eaten. The disciples were surprised by that. They said, how? Did someone bring him food out here? There's no food out here. And that's when Jesus looked at them and he spoke to them and he said these words that we find in John chapter 4. He explains to them and says this, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And this brings us to the first thing I want us to think about when we think about the harvest, our first point. And I have some questions I'd like us to consider this morning. And our first question is this. We have a question coming up on the screen. Oh, that's not the question. Let's go to the next slide there. Our first question is this. It has to do with food. You can see the plate there. And the question is for each of us is this. Does the harvest feed you? Just like Jesus said, doing the will of God, doing his work is what feeds me, what satisfies me. Does doing the will of God feed you? Does doing the harvest, the work of the harvest, feed you and satisfy your soul? Now, to help you understand how important this is, I've actually brought some food. You guys like food? Good. I'm in the right place then. So I brought some food here, and what I want us to do is this. I want you to help me pick out the best food, the most satisfying food. So I've got some right here in my box. And whoa! Oh, what are you doing in there?
Surely hungry.
Well, you've got to come out of there.
No! No! No, Charlie, stay!
No, you can't stay in there.
No! Charlie, no one, come out!
No, you've got to come out. I said, there we go.
Charlie, hungry! Feed Charlie!
Okay, everyone, this is Charlie.
No, not Charlie. Charlie!
Okay, this is Charlie. Well, Charlie, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're hungry.
Huh? Why are you glad I'm hungry? Hungry not good, hungry bad! Charlie, hungry. Feed Charlie!
Okay, Charlie needs a breath mint, I think. Whew. Okay, well, Charlie, I'm glad you're hungry because I've actually got some food.
Oh, food! Feed Charlie!
Oh, okay, I will. I've got some food here. Maybe, how would you like some nice breakfast? Some eggs, some sausage, even a waffle.
Huh? What that? Charlie, no one awful food? Ah!
I didn't say awful, I said waffle. That was good food.
Charlie, not want feed Charlie!
Okay. All right, Charlie doesn't want breakfast. How about, oh, I know, everyone likes this, hamburger and fries. I'll put that right there.
Charlie, not frog? Charlie, not want flies? Ah!
But I didn't say flies, I said fries, hamburger and fries.
Feed Charlie!
Okay. Charlie, you don't like that either. How about maybe this? Some nice fresh fruit. I'll just set that right there for you to eat.
Charlie, not want that. That not food. That what food eats. Ah!
But that's good food.
No! Yeah!
Okay, Charlie doesn't want that either.
Feed Charlie!
Okay. I'm kind of running out of options here. I've only got...
Feed Charlie!
Okay. Well, here. This is all I've got left. It's a can of beans. You like that? Oh, I finally found... Hang on a second. I'll give it...
Feed Charlie!
Okay. I'll give... Oh, hang on just a second. I'll give it to you in just a second. I'm just wondering why you like beans so much. After all those other things, why do you like the beans?
What beans? Charlie like tin can.
Oh, okay. Well, you can have the tin can in just a minute, but
feed Charlie!
Oh, okay. I'll put it right in here. We don't want to make a mess in the church. I'll put you in with the food. Wow. Okay, he's a hungry monster. That's Charlie. Don't laugh, you're just encouraging him. Charlie made a mess here, but you know what? Actually, I think Charlie made, I was going to have you guys make a choice, but I think Charlie made the choice for us, and I think he chose wisely. He chose a can of beans over all this other stuff, and you might be saying, well, why is that a good choice? Well, see, the can of beans was the only real food I had. In case you didn't notice, this is just plastic. this is fake food. It won't satisfy you. The can of beans might not look like much, but it's the only thing that's truly going to satisfy you. And I want you to understand that this morning, because I think it's important for us when we look at what will satisfy us. See, the world offers us all kinds of things that says, and they say it'll make you happy. They say, you know, if you have enough money, if you're rich, that's what's going to make you happy. Or they say, you know what, if you have a lot of friends and you're popular, that's what's going to satisfy you. Or they'll tell you, if you're powerful, if you're in charge, that's what's going to make you feel important and going to make you happy. But all those things are fake food. None of those things are truly going to satisfy. The only thing that will truly satisfy you is doing the will and the work of your Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us that God created us. Before you were even born, God knew you, and He knew every day of your life. He knew you were going to be here this morning, hearing this word this morning. And He created you for a purpose. And the only way you will truly ever be happy is doing what God designed you to do. Reaching the lost. Reaching out to people around you. Are you doing the will of your Father? Does it satisfy you to be doing His work and to do His will? And if it doesn't, I would challenge you to do this. Pray and say, God, all these things that I've been chasing after, help me to lay those aside and help me to search for Your will for my life and help me to do what You want me to do. And so that's our first question that I'd like us to consider this morning. The first thing I think is important as we think about the harvest, does the harvest feed you? But there's more. There's more here in this passage, and that brings us to our second question. Our second question is all about eyeballs. And it's this, do you see the harvest? Listen to what Jesus says to His disciples as He goes on in this passage. Verse 35, He's talking to them. He says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, those who reap draw their wages. Even now, they harvest the crop for eternal life. Now, I have to admit, the yelling part, that was me. I added that in. It probably is not in your Bibles. But I kind of think Jesus might have yelled at them. And why? Well, tell you what. I'll explain why. I'm going to need some help here. I need a volunteer. Is there a volunteer type person who'd like to come up here and help me out? Did I see your hand go up? No? Are you sure? Is there a volunteer? Nobody? Nobody wants to help me out? I was looking for a little volunteer. I'm glad there's big kids that want to help me out. But I was looking for a little volunteer. Right? Would you help me out, sweetheart? Come on up here. Awesome. Oh, no. Well, now, you were too slow. What am I going to do? You're going to help me out? Okay. You can help me out next time, okay? Is that okay? All right. Well, let's do this. What's your name, sweetheart?
Chiare.
This is Chiare. Everyone say hi. And we're going to play a game today. You like to play games? Okay, so we're going to play a game. Now, the game is real simple. All you need for this game is some eyeballs. And you guys can all play along too, okay? If you have eyeballs, you can play this game. Now, it's real simple. I'm going to hold up some fingers, okay? And I want you to tell me how many fingers you can see. Can you do that? Okay, so let's give this a shot. Are you ready? Turn this way so everyone can see you. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Two.
Wait, no, that's not right. No, okay. You know what? Maybe the problem is you're having a hard time seeing. So don't worry. I got you covered. I came prepared this morning. I've got some glasses here that'll help you see things just a little bit better. There we go. So now we're going to try this again. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
Three.
Okay, these glasses aren't helping because that's the wrong answer. That's not what I was looking for. Tell you what, I've got another pair of glasses here. These will get you real close to the situation. You can zoom right in there, okay? Oops. All right, so we're going to try it again. Are you ready? I'm going to make it real simple this time. You guys playing along, okay? You see if you can get the right answer. Are you ready? One, two, three.
One.
Yeah. Oh. No. You still didn't get it. Okay, the glasses obviously aren't helping. Maybe the problem isn't with your eyes. Maybe the problem is with my fingers. So I brought some bigger fingers here today. Okay. And I've even taken one away, so there's less fingers there, okay? So now you've got your eyeballs. Oh, sorry, my big hand. You've got your eyeballs. I've got my hands, okay? And we're all going to play together, give you one more shot, okay? Can you do this? Are you sure? Okay, here we go. Turn around. One, two, three. How many fingers can you see? Five? Count them.
Four.
One, two, three, four. Is she right? No, she's not. And you guys are all wrong too. You know what, sweetheart? Don't feel bad, because they got it wrong too. And actually, I've been kind of playing a trick on you.
I know.
I've been playing a trick on you. Yeah, you know that, don't you? Well, see, here's the thing. Everyone's getting the wrong answers because I asked you something very specific when I started. I asked you, I said, I'm going to hold up some fingers, and I want you to tell me how many fingers you can see. I didn't ask you to tell me how many fingers I'm holding up. I said, how many fingers can you see? So how many fingers can you see? Ten? No, you're wrong. Everybody do this. Hold up your hands for me. And wiggle those things on the end of your finger, or your hands. What are those? Fingers. But you didn't count those, did you? You didn't count the ones next to you, the ones behind you, the ones... You didn't see those. You know what? You did a great job. See, they all got it wrong, too. So let's give her a big hand. She did wonderful. You can go sit back down. Thanks, sweetheart. Now I played a trick on you, but see, I want you to understand, sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. That's why I think Jesus might have yelled at his disciples that day. Because think about this. The Bible tells us the disciples left Jesus at the well, and they went into town. Meanwhile, at the same time, there's a lady leaving town and going to the well, which means they must have walked right by each other. Here is a lady who's looking for answers. We know that because Jesus is able to share the love of God with her and show the love of God to her. And yet the disciples walked right by her and didn't even see her. What about you? How many people do you walk right by every day and you don't even notice them anymore? Your neighbors, your colleagues at work, friends in your neighborhood, people you see as you're running your daily chores. Do you even see what's right in front of you? The harvest field that God has put you there to reach. Now understand, friends, I'm not trying to get down on you. I think this is a common problem for us as human beings. We tend to overlook the ordinary, the everyday, and we forget why God has put us here, to reach a harvest. In fact, we have the same problem where we are in Africa, doing our ministry among children. One of the biggest challenges we face is just helping our churches see the harvest field. You would think that's easy when you consider that in Africa, there are 500 million children on the continent of Africa. Half a billion kids. Half of the population, wherever you go, half of the population is children. And those children face overwhelming circumstances, you can see here. I don't have time to go through all these problems and these issues this morning. But just take a look at this one right here, just as an example. Almost 5,000 children die every single day because they don't have access to clean drinking water. They drink dirty water, they get sick, they don't have access to medical care, and even if they do, they can't afford it. That's staggering. But here's the thing, in the midst of all those challenges, there is great opportunity. If you would just see the harvest field, what an opportunity to reach out to these children and to share the love of Jesus, to show the love of Jesus to them, and to transform their lives, transform the lives of their families, to transform entire communities. If we can just help our churches see that. The problem is, in our part of the world, 80%, 85%, even 90% of the churches in some countries have no place for the kids to even meet. If they have a class for kids, it's outside under a tree. And when the rains come, they don't even have that. So one of our challenges is just helping our pastors see the potential to see the harvest field. And that's why we've started a project called the Sunday School Shelter Project. That, well, instead of me explaining to you, I want you to take a look at this video here that explains what the Sunday School Shelter Project is all about and how it's helping our pastors see the potential of the harvest field that's there in front of them.
Hi, friends. This is Phil Malcolm, your missionary of the Children of West Africa. And I'm standing here in what would be a typical children's classroom for many of our churches across the continent of Africa. I'm not referring to the building you see behind me. That's actually the sanctuary for the adults. What I'm referring to is the small piece of shade that you see in the wall of the church. This is the only classroom that a large majority of our churches would be able to provide for their children. And as you can imagine, in hot tropical Africa, the shade doesn't last long. And when the rains come, there's no place for the kids to meet.
Alléluia. Oui, toi. Un chrétien ne doit pas voler. Très bien.
And I'm holding in my hand the only curriculum that many of those teachers would have to teach their children, their own personal Bible. And many of those teachers, in fact, a majority of them, have no training on how to make that Bible come alive for kids, how to capture their attention and use the few resources they have on hand to make the Bible interesting for their kids. These are the three things we hear time and again as we've traveled across the continent of Africa, from teachers, from children's leaders, and even from missionaries. They say, can you help us to train our teachers? Can you help us with curriculum and resources? And can you help us provide space for our children?
Jésus est la force de ma vie. Jésus est la force de ma vie.
These are huge needs, and how can we hope to respond to them? Well, our answer is this. What you see here is a Sunday school shelter, part of the Sunday School Shelter Project. This simple structure provides a place where kids can come and meet out of the rain when it's raining, out of the sun when it's a hot sunny day. It gives children a place that they can call their own, lets them know that the church cares about them. One of the wonderful things about this project, though, is that we also provide low-resource, creative curriculum for the teachers who will be using this space. And we follow it up with training that shows them how they can grab kids' attention, how they can keep the children's attention in creative, exciting ways and make the Bible come alive for the children that they'll be working with. Friends, this has already been transforming churches across Africa in many different nations. We've heard incredible testimonies. Teachers have said that since we built a shelter for their church, the number of children coming has doubled, tripled, even quadrupled. And the results are far beyond that, because these teachers are telling us that children are so excited to come that the parents are noticing the difference and asking, what are you doing with my children? We can't believe the difference that we've seen since you started teaching using the creative curriculum and the training that you've received. Friends, the Sunday School Shelter Project is making a difference thanks to people like you. So please, give to this project generously so that we can transform children's lives. And by touching children today, we will change the continent tomorrow. God bless you.
And that is our Sunday School Shelter Project. The exciting thing is to see what happens when a church recognizes that harvest field, when a pastor sees the potential, and all of a sudden you watch the children's ministry grow, but also the church grow, and watch them impact the entire community. Friends, that's why it's so important that we learn to see the harvest field that God has placed before us. And that's our second question that we have up here today. Do you see the harvest? So we've talked about, first of all, does the harvest feed you? Secondly, do you see the harvest? But there's a third thing I'd like us to consider, a third question, and that question is this. It has to do with harvest, and so, well, that's actually someone planting a seed. But anyway, the question harvest is, are you helping with the harvest? Now, why did I put a picture of someone planting a seed when we're talking about harvest? That's, planting is the opposite of harvest. But listen to what Jesus says here in this passage. He just says that those who reap draw their wages, and then it goes on to say, even now they harvest the crop for eternal life, so that the sower, that's the one who plants, and the reaper, that's the one who's harvesting, may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. And see, what I want you to understand this morning is that when I ask this question, are you helping with the harvest? Well, see, when you plant into ministries like ours, when you sow into our efforts to reach the children of Africa, you are reaping a harvest. By helping us on the other side of the world, every time you help a missionary go to the other side of the world, you're helping with a harvest that you'll never see. You're sowing into our ministry so that we can go and do work in a place far away with people that you'll never meet. But what a harvest it is. What an incredible thing it is. And I want you guys to understand this. I want you to grasp this and wrap your head around it. So we're going to take a few minutes here to look at this a little bit more carefully, and we're actually take a few minutes to boast. I'm not going to boast this morning about Robin and I, but I'm going to boast about, well, people like you, churches like yours, those who've helped us to go and do this work, because together we harvest. And I want you to understand this is something we do together. In fact, we can't do it alone. Do you know that to get a visa in many countries, we have to sign the papers that say we will not take a job here, we will not take money from the people here. The only way we can go and do what God's called us to do is with people like you and churches like yours who support us. So together we harvest. And I want you to understand this. So here's what we're going to do. Every time I point to you, I want you to say those words. I want you to say, together we harvest. All right, let's give it a try.
Together we harvest.
Good. So every time I point to you, you guys are going to say,
together we harvest.
You guys are having a hard time seeing fingers this morning, aren't you? Okay. So every time I point to you,
together we harvest.
There you go. So let's take a look at what we can do together.
Together we harvest.
When we create resources and curriculum for teachers. Creative lessons that they can use to teach their kids. Also things like this, the book that you see Robin holding there is the book that we created this last term for our Bible schools. Hundreds of Bible schools across the entire continent that they will use this course to train new pastors on the importance of children's ministry, why they need to do that, and how to start it in their own communities. Here's the exciting thing. They are already using this book in countries that Rob and I have never even visited. That's the increase of impact when we work together. Because
together we harvest.
When we build more than 50 of those Sunday school shelters you just saw, and that's just in the last 2 years. This program has exploded. In fact, just this week, I received an email from a missionary in Burkina Faso who's saying, we're launching the program this week. They might already be building the building, I don't know, but they're starting it in Burkina Faso. They're planning to build them throughout the entire nation. More than 30 of those shelters over the next couple months. But it only happens because of people like you and churches like yours who help us to do that. Because
together we harvest.
When we reach out through local church events and camps and outreaches, we've been to camps with 3,000 plus kids at them. But one of the most exciting things for us is to go to just a local assembly. Like you see here, you can't see it very well. It's kind of a dark picture there. But Robin's teaching in a local church. And we love to do that because as we model for these teachers a creative, interesting way to teach the Bible, a way that they've never seen before, you see their eyes light up. They come to us afterwards and say, we have never seen our kids behave so well. We want you to teach us what you're doing. And that's exciting. Because when they catch that interest, that passion, all of a sudden it changes their ministry. And they tell us afterwards, we started doing what you've taught us to do, and the kids are coming like never before. They're inviting their friends. They're the first ones at the door telling their moms that we need to be at church. That's exciting. But it only happens because of people like you and churches like yours. Because when we train thousands of teachers, you see, we can't visit every single church in every single country that God has called us to. But we can go in and hold a training seminar and bring hundreds, sometimes 500-600 teachers together. And we train them how to do these creative things using resources they have on hand. You can see here, I'm showing them how to make a Bible costume with a bed sheet and an old towel. But it's something they've never seen before. They're used to standing up and just lecturing. That's the way all teaching is done in their countries, for the most part. And so they're used to just lecturing. And when we show them how to be creative and how to have fun with the kids, it's transforming their ministries. They send us back the testimony saying, this is the best thing that we've ever had. But friends, it only happens because of people like you and churches like yours. Because when we reach out through compassion projects to vulnerable children and orphans. In fact, this picture you see here only happened because of a church like yours. You see, our church leader in the country of Togo had contacted us and said, I'm sending you a man. I'm sending you a pastor. He has a vision to build a children's center. Well, as soon as he said that, Rob and I knew that it wasn't going to happen because we had no money. We were at the end of our term. This wasn't a project that we had planned on doing, so we had set no money aside for that. There was no way it was going to happen. But how do you tell the leader of your church, no, you can't? So I said to Robin, well, we'll listen to this man and we'll pray with him and we'll send him on his way because that's all we can do. And this man and his wife came and began to share with us their vision, how they worked in the northern part of the country, a part of the country that's so poor that even other Africans don't want to go there, a part of the country where children are treated like property. Young girls as young as 10 years old are sold into marriage for the price of a pot of beer. Young men are forced to work all day in the fields, 12, 14 hours. They're not allowed to go to school, even though school is supposed to be mandatory, because their parents are afraid if they go to school, they'll get an education and they'll leave home and they'll lose their workforce. And this pastor and his wife shared how they wanted to do something to reach those kids. They were already doing things, reaching out and holding special events for those kids. And they'd been given land by the village chief to build a center where kids could come and get an education. They could get tutoring. They could come and learn a vocation so they'd have a better way of life. And they could come and meet Jesus. He said, we have the land, we have everything ready, but we have no money to build. Can you help us? Well, like I said, our plan was to say thank you very much and we'll pray with you and send them on the way. And by the time they were done sharing, we were emptying out our pockets saying, Pastor, we don't have much money, but this is what we have. And we'll pray with you and we'll believe God with you. We began to do that. We began to pray and we began to put out word and ask around our different departments in the World Missions Department saying, is there anything we can do? Is there any money we can find? And the answer kept coming back, no. And then a few weeks later, a church just like yours contacted us, one of our supporting churches, and said, you know, we'd like to build a building. Now, we don't normally build big buildings like that. We build those little Sunday school shelves. We don't build big buildings like that. That's not on our radar. I'm not a builder by nature. That's not what God's called me to do. I don't do construction. So we didn't advertise this. Nobody knew that we needed a building. Well, one person did. But this church contacted us out of the blue and said, we'd like to put up a building. What a miracle. Here's someone who needs a building. Here's a church that wants to build a building. And it's almost like God knew what was going to happen. Almost, huh? What a miracle. But friends, it only happened. That building that you see in the picture only exists because of a church like yours, people like you. And as we were getting ready to leave, after we put up that building, after we did an outreach and had 700 people almost come in one night to that little church, the pastor looks at us and said, in just a few weeks, we're planning to have a kids' camp. We already had it on the calendar. We had no place to put these kids. We were expecting over 500 kids to come not only from our village, but from all the surrounding villages. And now we have a place to put them. Friends, it only happens because of people like you and churches like yours. Because with, well, so many more projects. I could keep going and going this morning because our God is good. Our God is big. But you know, our big God so often works through small people like you and I. And it only happens when we work together. We are better together. We are stronger together. So when I ask you this question, our third question, are you helping with the harvest? Well, if you are planting into missions ministries, if you are supporting missionaries, then the answer is a resounding yes. But the question I would leave you with is this, what more could we do? What more could each one of us do, both here locally and around the world? How can we help with the harvest? Because that's why God has called us. I want to leave you with one last thought. This is our closing thought for the day. It's one more statement that Jesus made about the harvest. It's not a question, but we have a statement here. And it's another passage of Scripture. It's about time. And Jesus said, now is the time for harvest. And this is why I said at the beginning of my message that Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Because in Matthew chapter 9, we see that Jesus was traveling around through villages, preaching in the synagogues, healing the sick. And then we come to verse 36, and it says this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that description touches my heart because when I hear that, I think of the children of Africa. If there was ever a people who were harassed and helpless, who needed guidance, it's the children of Africa. And the Bible says, when he saw those people, when he had compassion on them, he turns to his disciples, and Jesus says this. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And that's the challenge that we have as we get ready to go back to Africa. In 6 months, we're heading back there. And God has challenged us once again to change our circle of influence so that we can increase our impact, so that we can reach more kids. What do I mean by that? Well, let me explain with this little illustration right here. This card here shows our circle of influence. And this small blue circle in the middle of the card is our least effective way of reaching children. And that circle of influence right there is kids. And that's a strange thing for a children's missionary to say, isn't it? The least effective thing I can do as a children's missionary is work with kids. But think about this. If Robin and I spend all our time investing into kids' lives, how many children can we reach? How many children can we disciple? 1,000? 2,000? Maybe in our lifetime we could reach 10,000 kids. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Okay, you guys aren't impressed. I guess you're reaching 10,000 kids every day. But for us, that would seem like a pretty big thing, to reach 10,000 kids and disciple them for Jesus. But that's the least effective thing we can do. And that's why from the very beginning of our missionary term, God challenged us to change our circle of influence so that we could increase our impact. And this larger red circle here, this represents children's workers. Those who work with children, the Sunday school teachers, the children's church workers. Because if we invest in their lives, imagine this. What if we took just 100 teachers and we invested in them? and show them how to do what we do. And then we sent each of those teachers back to their villages, to their towns, to their cities. And each of those teachers reached 1,000 kids. That's 100,000 kids we're talking about now. Okay, some of you are excited. Some of you are still not very impressed, okay? 100,000, that's not doing it for you, okay? Well, let's keep going then. Because you know, God has challenged us. As great as that sounds, it's not enough. And that's why God challenged us, especially this last term, to increase our circle of influence once again. And this larger green circle here, this represents children's leaders, pastors, trainers, key leaders in the church. What if we could just invest in 10 key trainers? We could train those 10 people to do all that we do, and then we send them back to their different countries across West Africa. And each of those trainers trains 100 teachers. And each of those 100 teachers trains or reaches 1,000 kids. Now we're talking about 1,000,000 children. Okay, that's the magic number with you guys, 1,000,000 kids, okay. Well, you know, friends, I'm happy to tell you this morning that that's happening. We've been seeing that happen. We've been seeing those trainers go out and train people that we've never touched, people that we've never reached, and those teachers are now reaching out to kids and doing incredible things. 1,000,000 kids, that's exciting, but it's still not enough when you consider 500 million children on the continent of Africa. And that's why God has challenged us this next term to once again change our circle of influence to increase our impact. And this largest circle here, this orange circle, this represents a new ministry for us. As we go back, God has laid on our hearts, and our leadership has asked us to start a training center for the next generation of missionaries. And we hope over the next several years to have dozens of people come and work with us. They'll stay with us for 6 months to 2 years, learning how to do children's ministry in the African context, learning to do what we do, and then we'll send each of those missionaries out to different countries across the entire continent. And each of those missionaries will then begin to work with kids that we would never meet. They'll begin to train teachers that we would never have a chance to encounter. And they'll begin to work and equip leaders that we will never come face to face with. And that's why we are so excited to once again see our circle of influence increase as God has called us to a vision. And now instead of just reaching 1,000,000 kids, we have the chance. We have the opportunity to impact an entire continent for the glory of God. Reach the children today, change the continent tomorrow. That's exciting, friends. We're excited about it. I can see you guys are getting excited about it. It's exciting to see a big vision, a God-sized vision. But here's the scary part. The scary part is all this won't happen. It can't happen without you, without people like you who will stand with us and help us to go and do these things. Because with that God-sized vision comes God-sized burdens, big burdens. And we know that our God is able, but as I said already, he works so often through people like you. And we are here today to share this vision with you and ask, would you help us with the resources we need to go and to change a continent, to reach an entire continent full of children, as we train that next generation to go out and impact the continent of Africa. We need your help with three things, three resources I'm going to ask you for this morning. Number one, I need your spiritual resources. I need you to pray for us. You can stop by our table in the back there, and you'll see little cards there that you can pick up with our picture on. Those are our prayer cards. They're just a reminder that you can put in your Bible, you can put in your fridge, you can put somewhere where you see us every day. They're about the size of a coaster. You can put it on under your coffee cup, so every time you take a drink in the morning, you see our face, and you remember to pray for us. But we need your spiritual resources. So we have watched, in our 20 years as missionaries, we have watched that when the people of God begin to pray, miracles happen. Miracles of provision, miracles of protection, things that should have never happened. And I don't have time to go into it this morning, but when I say miracles, I'm not talking little things. I'm talking God-sized, incredible things that couldn't happen without God intervening. But it happens when people like you begin to pray. So number one, we need your spiritual resources. Number two, I'm going to ask you, would you help us with your financial resources? With this big vision comes a big budget. We're not only raising a budget for our own personal work, but we're raising a budget so we can train all these new missionaries. And we need your help. Do you know that with a pledge of just $10 a month, what does that mean? Giving up a couple cups of coffee at Starbucks each month? Would you be willing to sacrifice that for just $10 a month? If you'd make a pledge to our ministry over the next 4 years, our next term as missionaries, you would help us to train 8 to 10 teachers. That doesn't seem like a lot on this side, but on our side of the ocean, it makes a big difference. We need your financial resources. Would you consider being part of our support team? And number three, we need your human resources. We need you. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Would you consider coming and working with us? Whether that be short term for a couple weeks, a couple months, or maybe God is calling you to long-term service. We need people that will help us change the face of Africa by reaching the next generation. I want to say thank you very much for allowing us to come and share. I'm going to ask Pastor to come and close our service. Thank you very much, and I pray that God blesses you. And I would challenge you once again, what is the Lord of the harvest asking you to do to reach this world and to change your neighborhood, your community, and the entire world? Pastor, would you come and share?